Hi, and thanks for joining our podcast today. Biometric identifiers such as fingerprints and facial recognition have become second nature to most smartphone users. But are these security measures enough to protect mobile banking customers and ensure compliance with Know Your Customer regulations? That's one of the questions keeping bankers up at night as customers increasingly migrate to mobile channels. As user expectations around convenience and functionality rise, banks have to balance the need to protect their customers with the ability to deliver frictionless mobile experiences. Sam Backen, Senior Product Marketing Manager for Mobile Security with OneSpan, is here to discuss how biometric authentication can help make mobile banking more convenient and secure. Sam, thanks for joining us.
So happy to be here. One of my favorite topics. Really excited to talk to you today.
Well, terrific. Well, let's start with a brief overview of where we are in terms of biometric identification. What are some of the advances that you're seeing in this technology that could help banks build trust with mobile users?
Great question. I think it goes without saying that one of the main things going on right now, of course, is that more people than ever have adopted mobile banking services and digital banking and remote banking. So for one thing, mobile devices are great for facilitating biometric login. And so, you know, you have two things going on here. You have new users who are becoming more comfortable with mobile financial services. And I see that kind of bringing about two things. One, you know, attackers are trying to take advantage of people that are less familiar with digital banking. And then also with more users getting kind of a better understanding of the channel, becoming more familiar with it, their preferences are kind of evolving. They're realizing that entering their username and password on a mobile phone is a bit of a hassle. And luckily, as you know, we'll get to in this conversation, biometrics really kind of solves both of those issues simultaneously. In terms of advancements, kind of specifically, for one, I think we're seeing more and more uptake. There are more banks integrating biometric authentication into their mobile apps. For example, I recently read that Bank of America now allows corporate accounts to log in with biometrics, which is great. Corporate users are people too. And, you know, millennials are making up a majority of the workforce in the U.S., so I really like to see this making its way into corporate banking as well. And then also in terms of advancements, I would say that liveness detection, which is a biometric system's ability to differentiate between a live person and a spoof, whether that's a photo or a video or sort of a manufactured body part, is getting much better. And then kind of finally, it's not as if there's some bang, zoom, wow, new biometric modality necessarily that's with us now, but it's really starting to come down to the application of biometrics. I myself was sort of disappointed to not see Google Glass take off a bit more with consumers when it was originally introduced. However, rumor has it that Apple will be releasing virtual reality or augmented reality goggles in 2022. The schematics of that device look pretty bulky, so I don't think we're going to see a lot of people walking around with them. But then the same sort of rumor mill is saying that there'll be a more streamlined version of Apple glasses coming in 2025. Now, why does that matter? Why is that relevant to biometrics specifically? Well, there's the opportunity to integrate something like iris recognition, for example, with the glasses, and that really is starting to provide a truly, completely frictionless authentication method, where you don't need to touch or input anything at all in that case. And I think we've seen a pattern in the past where if Apple is finding sort of an application for biometrics, the general population really starts to come on board with that.
Interesting. So what are mobile bank customers looking for from their banks, and where are the most common pain points in today's banking app?
Great question. What we tend to see in North America anyway are a few things. First of all, I think that anybody that sort of follows the industry, they'll see from analysts that consumers' top desires for mobile banking are really being able to trust that the financial institution is keeping their security in mind, making it easier to access their accounts, and then also being able to find what they need within the mobile app easily. And one thing that OneSpan, for example, we help our customers with, and something also that I have firsthand experience with and probably anybody that's listening as well, is sometimes a lack of consistency between the web banking app and the mobile banking app.
Yeah.
I myself run into this a little bit where I engage with my bank via both channels, but there's always some feature that I can't find in one or the other because I did it in the other channel before or something. And so there's a little bit of a lack of consistency there. And that sometimes can frustrate me a bit. So that consistency, making it easy to find things, that's one big one. There's a book about web design called Don't Make Me Think. So I really like to bring that up a lot is, you know, I wish I didn't have to think so much sometimes about how to get something done in whatever preferred channel for the situation that I'm in, that I'm using. And then I have two more items that I'd like to cover based on, you know, what are kind of the common pain points here and what consumers are looking for. We're definitely seeing an increase in mobile fraud schemes. And in a lot of cases, those are kind of hinging on the theft of SMS messages for, you know, authorization of transactions or maybe for a second factor of authentication. Now, I want to be really clear, an SMS message is absolutely better than nothing in terms of two-factor authentication, but it can be kind of weak, and it's becoming easier than ever, you know, cheaper, maybe I would say, for attackers to kind of start stealing those codes. So, you know, I think the U.S. and maybe Canada kind of stand apart from the rest of the world here in terms of how prevalent SMS is for two-factor authentication in banking scenarios. But again, you know, based on the topic of our conversation here, let's really try to move away from SMS there. Let's move to biometric authentication, which is more secure, more convenient. And at the same time, you know, studies kind of show that people tend to perceive their bank as more secure if they're able to use biometrics for bank account access. And then finally, I just want to say, obviously, the pandemic, associated lockdowns, they've really bumped a lot of people, all of us, kind of out of our day-to-day habits. So we're engaging with banks in different ways. And I think that traffic to branches will probably never quite get back to what it was beforehand. So banks really just need to figure out how to both help their customers self-serve via digital channels, which many consumers might prefer for simpler tasks. But then also figuring out how to deliver kind of that personal experience with a representative. I think that we're going to start seeing a lot more, you know, prevalence and probably innovations in terms of like in-app video chat and that sort of thing, where a user can still engage through their preferred mobile channel, but then get some of that personalized service for some of those more complex tasks and transactions.
Gotcha. But striking that perfect balance between convenience and security in their mobile apps is a constant struggle for financial institutions. How do biometrics really help deliver both?
I love this question. The old adage is that there's always a trade-off between convenience and security. But at this point, I'm starting to really look at that as kind of a myth that needs busting. You remarked upon the solution, right? It's biometrics, I think. Mm-hmm. When you sort of compare entering username and password and then like switching to a messaging app and having to enter an authorization code sent over SMS and blah, 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 it's a lot of steps to get access to your account. And, you know, the login process is kind of a continuous or a continual recurring first impression for your customer. If my session starts with a big hassle, it's going to affect my impression, if even just a little bit, maybe only subconsciously, but just I'm going to view that interaction in a different way. Users authenticating themselves is that recurring first impression, you know, and if that process is frustrating or outmoded, that's probably not an impression you want to try to give users every time they're engaging with you. And then a thread off of that as well is, you know, I like to say that a good user experience is also a secure one. For one, it's, you know, very inconvenient if your account is taken over. There's a lot of following up and contact and sort of things you need to do to kind of recover from that. And then when you think about biometrics, of course, they're not only super convenient, they're more secure than username and password or OTPs or SMS codes. Static credentials, OTPs, all that sort of thing can be phished. But you can't really fish my face or fingerprint, at least in the same way and at least at the same scale. So why not make it more convenient, I guess, is my point. All I have to do is look at the camera. I myself love it. And, you know, what can be more secure, really? Again, like I said, liveness detection technology has gotten really good, just meaning that verifying that the person using the facial recognition is, in fact, there in the room, is alive, has possession of the phone. And it's a great second layer of verification there. And again, just a really good user experience as well.
But given the increasingly rich functionality that banks are building into their apps, authentication will have to go beyond the logins. How can biometrics be used to facilitate in-app features and still remove friction from the mobile banking experience?
So I'm probably going to repeat myself a bit here, but biometrics can allow you to offer more services to your customers that you are maybe a little nervous about putting out there. There's what's called behavioral biometrics, which is sort of identifying a user based on a profile in the pattern of how they interact with the app. And it's this authentication that is going on consistently, continuously. And then also really that device fingerprint. So you know that this is a device that you have or have not seen before, that aligning with the user's behavior and having a good understanding of not only the behavioral biometrics, but the customer's behavior in terms of looking at this on the back end, in terms of, you know, what sort of regular patterns of behavior, what days and times are people typically transferring money and to where and that sort of thing. But, you know, what it comes down to is you can kind of confidently up the ante in terms of what you allow in the mobile app. And then, you know, if there's, again, something out of the ordinary that kind of trips the risk threshold or whatever, you can ask the user to authenticate themselves with biometrics in those cases. And I think it's important to realize that, at least myself, we probably expect that in certain ways, and it'll reassure us in certain ways. We know we're probably aware that we're doing something a little bit out of the ordinary anyway, and we maybe like to see signals that our bank has recognized that sort of thing. So I think that's really how biometrics really intertwines with that richer user experience as well.
Well, that makes a lot of sense, but still, no technology is perfect and biometrics don't always work. How can multi-factor authentication programs maintain security while reducing customer pain points?
That's a great question. This is a big topic right now. First of all, what I'll say is that I think that anyone that has ever uttered the phrase that something is 100% secure or unhackable or something like that, they've regretted saying it or they probably soon will. I think what part of this has to do with is really offering a wide variety of biometric modalities so that users can kind of select their preferred modality, whether that's fingerprint, face, voice, or that sort of thing. But again, that really hot kind of topic here is this bias with facial recognition algorithms. This is something that's very important. This is something that's very important to OneSpan as well. You know, we sell facial recognition and comparison technology to customers for authentication use cases and identity verification use cases. But we're really clear that we acknowledge that this bias is there. You know, typically what this bias kind of manifests itself in is the lower accuracy with certain skin tones and in some cases genders as well. So, you know, the first step in any problem is really identifying it, acknowledging that it's there. And what's also great is NIST, now that U.S. government department that does some assessments, if you will, of technology that's out there, but they have a great program for facial recognition specifically, and they are reporting on bias in these algorithms that are provided by vendors such as OneSpan. But again, comparing them in terms of this bias, specifically with regards to skin tone and again, gender, that you can, you know, banks that are evaluating this, they can go and they can look at that third party kind of trusted resource to compare these algorithms amongst themselves. And I just, that's a very good step, I think. We by no means solved the problem, but acknowledging it, taking action to reduce it, offering other methods of authentication if there is bias that may deny somebody service as a result of that bias, it's good to see some of those positive steps. And it's also great that the industry in general seems to really be talking about that and talking about this in general to kind of figure that out.
So do these systems need to be built directly into the banking app to make them both seamless and secure?
Good question. There's kind of two sort of approaches, I guess, to integrating biometric authentication technology. One is sort of what's hard built into the device itself, and that would be something like Apple Face ID or Touch ID. It's sort of specialized hardware that's in the device itself. Samsung does similar things. Other handset manufacturers do similar things. But then there's also what's called third-party proprietary biometrics. This would be what OneSpan would deliver. But the point is, These are technologies that can offer things like face and voice recognition, but in a device agnostic way, just meaning that all users don't have to have special phones with the hardware built in order to enjoy the benefits of facial recognition. Because, for example, every phone has a camera, every phone has a microphone. In addition to that, you know, some of our customers that we're working with, they aren't convinced of the security of some of the device built in biometric systems. A few of those systems have, you know, there's been articles in the news about how they've been hacked. Some of their liveness detection is lacking. And, you know, in addition, they lose a little bit of control over the user experience. But again, third-party proprietary biometrics can help banks get past those obstacles.
So to remain relevant, banks are going to have to step up their mobile game. What role can biometric authentication play in making mobile banking more efficient, convenient, and mostly secure?
So, as I kind of said at the beginning, there are more people than ever are using mobile financial services, and there's plenty of competition for those users. In many cases, some of the kind of up-and-coming mobile-focused or mobile-only providers have really kind of nailed that user experience. But, you know, look, I myself am still loyal to my bank. That bank is a big one that's well established. I really trust that bank. That's part of the reason I'm with them. And my bank also, though, continues to win awards for their customer experience as well and their mobile app. But if facial recognition, for example, wasn't an option for logging in, or I had to go through the kind of rigmarole of entering an SMS authorization code or those sorts of things, I'm pretty sure I'd be looking around. So, you know, banks are already thinking about this, of course, in a related way, but, you know, if branch traffic decreases, there's less and less opportunity, of course, to build trust and loyalty through face-to-face interactions. So, you know, again, just really making sure that you're nailing that mobile experience is all the more important. And again, I don't think that I'm saying anything sort of novel there. People mostly realize that. But you also brought up, you know, efficiency, which is a great one. I love this. You know,
sure.
10 years ago or so, my bank was already doing a pretty good job with mobile. I didn't have to wait in line at a branch because I could get things done through the mobile app. And, of course, they didn't stop there, right? If they had stopped where they were 10 years ago, I'd be gone by now. They continue to offer more and more services to me via that mobile app. And that's, in a lot of ways, what it kind of comes down to, obviously or not, but make it so that I don't have to waste time waiting in line or waiting on hold, right? That's that self-service aspect of the mobile app that's great. And, you know, getting back again to that account access convenience item, I don't want that login process to be inconvenient. You know, it's always sort of in the back of my mind, and I don't know if you kind of relate to this or at least, you know, some of the listeners do as well. But I have apps on my phone where maybe it occurred to me to log in, but I just had a few minutes, and I kind of have this callus that's built up in my memories of the inconvenience of logging into some of these apps. So if it's going to take me 3 minutes to log in, and I'll probably make at least one mistake to add time to that, you know, never mind. Just I'll skip it because I'm, you know, I'm walking the dog really quick or something like that. And then what's important to remember is that maybe I was going to purchase something, right, or take some action that generates revenue. And now that app with this sort of annoying login process lost that opportunity to engage with me. And then I'm going somewhere else. And every time I go somewhere else to get whatever service, it's easier for me to kind of ignore this other app that I just was not satisfied with. So it's all about engagement there. And it almost feels like I'm exaggerating a bit, but it's just, it's really important to think about that as people have, you know, gosh, do they have 100 apps? They have tens of apps at least on their phone. And so there's no lack of choices. And again, I just want to reiterate, a good user experience is definitely also a secure one. I know that I feel safer logging into an app with facial recognition than I do one that uses SMS. Every time I have to use SMS for authentication or authorization, I read the news, and it kind of reminds me that I'm a little bit exposed. And that's not a good feeling, right? So just remove that. Let me do facial recognition. That adds to my perception of the app itself being secure. So again, just to kind of close out maybe, but biometrics really simultaneously improve that user experience and increase security. And it's really great to see that more banks are taking this up And I can't wait to see, you know, continued adoption of that and kind of what's coming for us in the future.
Yeah, me either. Well, Sam, thanks again for your time. And listeners, thanks for joining us. To learn more about biometric authentication, please go to onespan.com.